You have an appointment with him in a certain place, you have to go and meet him. Even if it means you fall down from the building 7 floors high, but you don't die there. You die in the exact spot where it was destined for you, where it was written on Allah al-Mahfuz. And since he had this appointment with the angel of death, he will come to meet the angel of death. The angel of death doesn't have to go to him. He will come to the place where he is supposed to die. And he died exactly in that spot. So, we have no guarantee that we're going to survive for another day. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a chance to make tawbah now, we have no excuse in delaying it. So therefore, brothers, let's leave out of this room with a sincere tawbah. Let's make tawbah right now to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the way, tawbah is not something that you only do when you commit a major sin. I mean, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask Allah for tawbah 100 times a day. And he used to ask Allah for forgiveness more than 70 times a day. Because by our human nature, we are going to be sinning. So we need to be asking Allah for tawbah all the time. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And we make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the conditions of tawbah? There are 4 conditions of tawbah. What are they? Number 1, let's list them. What is the first condition of tawbah? Ikhlas is a prerequisite of every deed. Ikhlas is a prerequisite of every deed. Nadam is the greatest pillar of tawbah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Innama at-tawbatu an-nadam." That tawbah is regret. To feel regret. Just like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama al-hajju 'arafah." That hajj is 'arafah. What Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant is not that everything in hajj is included in Arafah, that Arafah is all hajj. No, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant that the most important part of hajj is Arafah. So here in tawbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Innama at-tawbatu an-nadam." The tawbah is regret, meaning that this is the most important element in tawbah. What else? So you feel regret for what happened. And one needs to, the greater the sin, the more regret we should have. And that is how a tawbah can be accepted. It is by feeling deep regret. What else? What is it again? To leave the sin, to stop committing the sin. That's the second condition. Third condition. What is the third condition? To make the intention of never committing the sin again. And the fourth requirement, which is only when the sin is between you and another person, and that is to seek forgiveness from them. So again, because brothers, it's very important that we know these 4 conditions. Number 1, regret. That you feel sorry for committing the sin. You know, because sometimes what happens is a person would go and drink and enjoy themselves and go out and commit haram. And then at the end of the day, they would say, "I repent. I make tawbah." So they're happy that they had a chance to commit all of these sins and then make tawbah. That is not a tawbah. If you feel happy that you had a chance to try all of this stuff, that's not a tawbah. There must be an element of regret. I feel sorry that I did that. I shouldn't have done it. The second requirement, to stop committing the particular sin. Third requirement, promise not to do it again. And the fourth, to seek forgiveness from others if the sin relates to other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive what is between you and him. But what is between you and others, it has to be sorted out between you. If it's not sorted out in dunya, then it will be sorted out in akhirah. And it's much easier to sort it out in dunya. For example, you owe someone money. You have the option of paying them in dunya or paying them in akhirah. If you pay them in dunya, you'll pay them back the same amount that you have taken from them because riba is haram. But if you decide not to pay them back in dunya and you want to delay it until akhirah, then you won't pay them money, but you will pay them hasanat. And on that day, you would rather die than give up one of your good deeds. So even it out in dunya before you get there. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, he heard one of his students came to him and said, so-and-so is speaking against you, ghiba. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i was quite satisfied and happy that that happened. And then he went out to the marketplace and he bought some fruits. And then he went to this person and he knocked on his door, so the person came out. And Imam al-Shafi'i said, I heard that you have handed me over some of your good deeds. And I have no way of thanking you but giving you these fruits. Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you very much for giving me your hasanat. So let's make sure that we don't hand over our good deeds to others. I mean, there's no ithar in hasanat. You want to keep your hasanat for yourself. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba, who is al-muflis, the bankrupt? As-Sahaba qalu, al-muflisu fina man la dirhama lahu wa la mata'. The muflis is a person who has no money or belongings. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Al-muflisu min ummati, man ya'ti yawm al-qiyama bi salatin wa siyamin wa zakah. Wa ya'ti wa qad shatama hadha wa qadhafa hadha wa akala mala hadha wa safaka dama hadha. فيعطى هذا من حسناته وهذا من حسناته فإن فنيت حسناته ولم يقضي ما عليه أخذ من سيئاتهم فطرحت عليه ثم طرح في النار. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, the bankrupt of my ummah is a person who comes on the day of judgment with a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, a lot of zakah, a lot of good deeds, but they also have backbited this person, abused this other person, hurt another person. So they would end up giving each one of them some of their good deeds. And if this person runs out of good deeds and he didn't pay his dues, then they will start unloading some of their sins on him and he will end up going to hellfire. This is the true bankrupt person. Because a person who's bankrupt is not somebody who started off as poor and ended poor. A bankrupt person is somebody who started off as rich and then became poor. They lost it all. That is definition of bankrupt. You had it and then you lost it. So this person had a lot of good deeds. He comes on the Day of Judgment with a mountain of hasanat. But because he was not careful in treating others, he will end up handing them over his good deeds. And then they will start giving him some of their sins. So I imagine this scenario. You have a good Muslim brother who comes and prays in the masjid. All right? And then you have another Muslim who is fasiq, who goes to nightclubs, drinks, hangs around with women, commits haram. Alright? And then you have this good Muslim in the masjid backbiting that other person, abusing him, hurting him. And then we come on the Day of Judgment, and this good Muslim who was in the masjid is giving the credit of his work to this corrupt person, and that corrupt person is giving over his drinking of alcohol and all of his sins to the Muslim who spent his time in the masjid. That's the last thing you want to happen to you, is that you make all of this ibad and then somebody else takes the credit for it. But that is what could happen if we are not careful in our dealings with others. So Rasulullah ﷺ says that أَثْقَلْ شَيْءٍ فِي الْمِيزَانِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. The heaviest thing on the scale on the Day of Judgment is have good character and good behavior. So let's make sure that we don't commit تعدي عن حقوق الغير. We don't transgress against others. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who would remember Allah in every moment, moments of ease and moments of difficulty. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who will have the last words coming out of their mouth, La ilaha illallah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.